Chapter 2, From Mugs to the Movies. Although I've managed many illustrious people, the only two letters I have saved, by some quirk of fate, are from Ronald Reagan, both expressing his happiness and gratitude at being signed by Warner Brothers. They are signed with a nickname by which I've always known him, Dutch. George Ward. When the 1936 spring training encampment came to an end on Catalina, the Cubs left the West Coast via the Los Angeles Limited bound for Chicago. Dutch Reagan made the return trip with them and then continued on by himself back to Des Moines. He had had the best time of his life hanging out with these Midwest boys of summer, swimming with them during off days, eating together, and hanging out in the hot clubs of Hollywood at night. They had quickly come to accept him as one of their own, an athlete who announced their games, rather than as some microphone nerd who'd never been near a ball field. Over drinks, Reagan entertained them with stories of his own playing days. And when women joined the party, he truly became one of the boys. And even though no one recognized the athletes in the days before TV made their faces as familiar as movie stars, this bunch had cavorted as if they were movie stars, eating, drinking, dressing in colorful California-style floral short sleeves and short khaki pants, living the boys' night out fantasy for all it was worth. Back at the radio station, Reagan discovered he was now considered something of a local hero himself, due to the popularity of many of the newspaper columns he had written and tape-recorded updates he'd filed, which had helped give a name to his increasingly familiar voice and the face that ran next to dispatches in the Des Moines Dispatch. Not long after he returned, WHO gave him his own early evening show, live at 5:30, repeated at 10:10, called The World of Sports with Dutch Reagan. He had insisted that his name be part of the title. He was no longer an anonymous announcer. He was Dutch Reagan, the radio sports voice of the Midwest.